This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1.
I've tried everything that good in my life to this world.
Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget say that again. King of my life.
King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget to Calvary.
King of my life.
King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be.
Lest I forget.
Lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest
loud one more time for our choir. Lead me to Calvary. Hallelujah, and bless the Lord. As we stand all over this place, let us prepare our hearts to hear the word of God. His word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Thank God for the word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just whisper that song of thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to. Now, if you know he's been good to you, been so good. Through my ups and through my downs, he's been so good. Sometimes level to the ground, but he's still been good. Come on, been so good. He's been so good. If I had 1,000 tongues, I couldn't thank him enough. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. There's a spirit of praise in this place. Come on, praise him. Thank you. Some of you may have to reach back a little farther to think of something to thank him for. But there are two or three people in the room who can say, just yesterday, he brought me out. Just yesterday, he healed my body. Just yesterday. Oh, thank you, Lord. I just want to say, I just want to thank you. Now put those hands together and give God praise. In the book of John, chapter 12, John chapter 12 and verse 32, there is a word from the Lord. And in a real sense, I guess you might say that I am going to preach my pre-anniversary message. Amen. On next Sunday, and we certainly hope that all of you will be here and that you bring someone with you. Y'all know we normally have an afternoon 3 o'clock service for pastor's anniversary, but God led me this year to just have one service, 10 a.m., our morning service. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, I'm going to give more because I ain't got to come back. Amen. And Pastor Rodney McNeil of the Second Bethlehem Baptist Church in Alexandria, Louisiana, will be our preacher on next Sunday morning. So we want you to be here. Amen. John chapter 12 and verse 32, the word says, Jesus says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Amen. As you take your seats this morning, I want to talk about the special calling of the pastor preacher, the special calling of the pastor preacher. Thank you, ushers. Amen. The world has a whole lot of religion. If you don't believe me, just travel around Leesville, travel around many of our cities, municipalities, and you'll find churches on every corner. So I think you will agree with me when I say the world has a whole lot of religion. But I've come by to remind us that though it has a lot of religion, it only has one gospel. Oh my, oh my. Religion in and of itself is man-made. That's the difference between religion and the gospel. Religion is man-made. The gospel is God-given. Religion is what man does for God. The gospel is what God has done for man. And what I love about the gospel is that the gospel that we preach has a unique and unusual power. It actually defies human logic and reasoning. The gospel that we preach can break a hard heart, and yet that same gospel can heal a broken heart. I'm talking about the gospel that we preach. The gospel that we preach can afflict the comfortable, and yet that same gospel can comfort the afflicted. Is there anybody here who knows that there is power in the gospel message? The gospel that we preach is a balm for the burdens of God's people. It is a salve for the sickness that often invades the body of Christ. The gospel that we preach is spiritual medicine for our misery. It is peace for our pain. It is calmness for life's chaos. I've simply come by to tell you that there is something unique, there is something special, there is something powerful about the calling upon the pastor preacher. We have been called and commissioned to do many things. I was thinking about the fact that, you know, the role of a pastor is somewhat unusual in the sense that the congregants, for the most part, don't know all of the intricacies, all of the things that pastors have to do on any given day or any given week, because for the most part, all you see the pastor do is preach on Sunday or teach Bible study on Wednesday. But sometimes we have to be reminded that in our local congregations, unlike T.D. Jakes on TV and Joel Osteen on TV, they have staff. Some of them even have staff that writes their sermons. Amen. And then a whole lot of the work that the local pastor has to do is task out to committees and folk who are doing all of those things that you don't know anything about, but in a small town, in a local congregation, much of that falls on pastor. Y'all didn't even know that as we ended the month of June, amen, that our church's insurance had been dropped. Y'all didn't know anything about it, amen. The company that we've used for about 20 years, Church Mutual, pulled out of the state of Louisiana, said too many hurricanes, too many storms, too many disasters, and so a whole lot of insurance companies, amen, dropped their customers, and we happened to be on the hit list. So we were looking at what are we going to do? We're not going to have insurance. And while you were sleeping, I was, amen, praying and up saying, Lord, please don't let the church catch on fire. Until we get some new insurance. And thank God, amen, through searching and reaching out to different brokers and what have you, thank God we're now fully insured. Somebody ought to say thank the Lord. Amen. But there are a whole lot of intricacies. There are a whole lot of things that a pastor is called upon to do when the air went out in the fellowship hall. And some of y'all didn't know about it. Amen. But some of y'all did because you called pastor and said, Pastor, it's hot back there. Amen. And we had to get folk to come in. And when you're comfortable sometimes sitting in here, we take for granted that the air is working. And many of you don't know that we had compressors to go out on several units. Amen. $5,000 every time we got to get a new compressor But we don't bother you with that. We just ask you to be faithful in your tithes and offerings, amen, so that we can do the work of ministry. There's a whole lot involved in being a pastor, but in all of the things that we do, the most important thing a pastor is called to do is to preach the gospel message. The pastor preacher has been called and commissioned to do many things. But most importantly, the pastor is charged and commissioned to proclaim, to preach, and to be the herald of the word of God. The preacher has been armed with the word of God. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Lord. God has placed in the heart, in the hand, and on the lips of the pastor preacher a great and grave task to handle his word. And to handle that word, watch this, with care, with compassion, and with commitment to his people. One of the things I don't want to ever be accused of is beating up on God's people. Amen. Amen. I believe that Jesus gave us this gospel message, and I'm going to tell you in just a few moments, amen, that there are three things about the gospel message that God gives to the preacher that ought to lift you. It ought to liberate you, and you ought to be reminded that it is a living message. It is the center of our mission as preachers. It is the bedrock of our calling. The proclamation is what God has sent us to do. It's the treasure that we have in these jars of clay. Can you believe that God has invested a treasure such as this in us? If nobody says amen, the preachers ought to say amen. The fact that God would entrust this rich gospel message in us. And one of the things that lay people miss is that we're people just like you. Oh my, God knows I strive to live right and I strive to live holy. Amen. But just like you, I miss the mark sometimes. Just like you, amen, I miss it. I miss it. Come on, y'all ought to help me right through here. Folk are quick to point fingers of condemnation and judgment at pastors and preachers as if somehow we're angels floating around here. But is there anybody who understands that I'm your pastor? The Bible says I'm the angel of this house, but I ain't no angel. I heard Sister Landry say, amen. Hallelujah. God has invested. He has entrusted us with this gospel message. In this 12th chapter of John, Jesus, y'all, is drawing close to his destiny on the cross. He's been anointed by Mary, that's Lazarus's sister. And y'all, you Bible readers will remember that Judas got upset because he feels that costly perfume that Mary uses to anoint Christ could have been used for better things. Christ has also entered the city of Jerusalem on a donkey, and the palm branches have been spread out in front of him. The hosannas have been quite boisterous. In verse 32, he says, "And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." And the next verse clearly says that he was speaking about his own death. He was actually prophesying about the power and the effect that the cross would have on the world then and the world yet to come. But these words can equally be applied as an application and a reminder to those of us in the pastoral role. These words contain the force of the gospel, and I. These words contain the faith of the gospel. Be lifted up. These words contain the fruit of the gospel. We'll draw. These words can serve as reminders to us of the priority, the commission, and the responsibility of this calling. I don't know everything, but one thing I do know is that he called me. Amen. I was a student back in the 80s. I went to McNeese. I graduated from Leesville High School in 1983 and started school at McNeese State University in Lake Charles in 1983. I was a member of a church down there called Unity Baptist Church. And it was on a Wednesday night, after Wednesday night service, myself, the pastor's son, and the pastor's wife, we were outside talking, and my friend, the pastor's son, Marvin, went on to tell us about a dream that he had had the previous night. And he said in that dream, he felt that God was calling him to preach. And I never will forget, because his mother chimed in and said, yeah, the dream was so real to Marvin that he got up in the middle of the night. He was standing in his bed, and he was screaming, and he had torn his shirt off. And as they were telling me about his dream, all the Spirit kept saying to me is that the dream is not about Marvin, the dream is about you. And I didn't say anything. I just listened to him tell the story. But when we left that church that night, I went to the Civic Center area. And if you've ever been to the Civic Center in Lake Charles, there's an outdoor pavilion there. And there's a hill right in front of that pavilion. And I went and I got on top of that hill and I looked up into heaven and I prayed to God. I said, God, I feel like you're calling me to preach. But, Lord, I want to be sure. And I put God to the test. I said, God, if you're really calling me to preach, I want you to spell it out in the sky. I wanted him to write, Joseph Garner, I'm calling you to preach. That didn't happen, but immediately a star went across the sky. And I dismissed it. I said, oh, that's just a coincidence. I didn't paid a whole lot of mind, amen, even though in my spirit I felt God tugging at my heart, telling me that he had called me to preach, but I left that mound that night, amen, saying that was just coincidence. But it was a few months later, down at Southern University, we were at youth encampment. And at that particular time, the dorms that we stayed in on the back of the campus had balconies on them. They've torn those dorms down and built new dorms. But one particular night, I was in the room, and I could not sleep. I got a chair out of the room and put it out on the balcony, and I sat in that chair. And when I sat down in the chair, a star went across the sky. And I fell on my knees on the balcony at Southern University, and I prayed. I said this to God. I said, God, I know I'm trying you, but God, I want to be sure if you're really calling me to preach, please give me a sign. Amen. And as I got up off of my knees on the balcony at Southern University and opened my eyes, another star flew across the sky. And it was confirmed in my spirit that God had called me to preach. We made it back to Leesville that Friday night. I went in. When we got back, it was late. My mother and father were already in bed. I went. I said, Mother, I need to talk to you. I said, God has called me to preach. And my mother said, that ain't nothing to play with. She tells me later that she already knew it. She just didn't say anything to me about it. But God had already shown her that he was going to call me to preach. But I told her about it. She said, that's very serious. You need to be very sure. And then that Sunday, we came to church in the old church, and after service, I told the pastor, Reverend Harrison, I said, Reverend Harrison, I need to talk to you. And he was standing out in the pew area. I said, Reverend Harrison, God has called me to preach. And when I said it, he fell down in his seat. I mean, he just plopped back in the pew. And he turned to his wife, Sister Bertha Harrison, who was standing a little ways away. He said, baby, come here. Tell Brother Garner what we talked about last night. And she said, baby said God is going to call you to preach. And that was another confirmation. And then as I was leaving out of the church that morning, Reverend Van Upshaw, many of you will remember him, he came up to me, and I don't know if he overheard the conversation. I don't know. But he came up. He said, God is dealing with you about preaching, ain't he? And I said, yes, he is. And then one more person confirmed it, and I knew, I already knew. I didn't need their confirmation, but I thank God for the confirmation. But I knew in my heart and in my spirit that God had called me to preach. Now, can I be real with you? I ain't never wanted to be no pastor. I know brothers that fight and politic and all of that to get a church. They want to be a pastor. That was not my desire. Reverend Garner's desire was to end up in law school and get a law degree and go live in New York as a corporate lawyer and drive around in a Rolls Royce and amen and all of that. But God said, no, I'm sending you home. I'm sending you back to Leesville, to the church that you were baptized in, to the church that you grew up in, and God called me to pastor, and here it is 31 years later when many said you'll never make it, when many said ain't no way you gonna make it, ain't no way you can take it, amen, but I stand here today by faith in God who is a keeper. How many of you know God is a keeper? Give him praise in this place. And so we thank God for the mandate that he gives us to preach his word. And I'm closing when I tell you these three things, that as preachers of God, there are three things that ought to come forth in our preaching, because we discover that as pastors, we have a lifting word. Let me hear everybody say, it's a lifting word. The preacher must preach Christ as if he was crucified yesterday, he rose today, and he's coming back tomorrow. Every time we preach, preachers, we've got to preach like he was crucified yesterday, like he rose today, and the urgency ought to be that he's coming back tomorrow. Come on, come on, come on. We are armed with the word that lifts the hearer. Our gospel is a lifting gospel. The preacher can't lift you. I'm your pastor, but I can't lift you. But is there anybody here who knows that the word will lift you? Come on, I just need two or three folk who can think back experientially when you were down and out, when you wanted to give up and throw in the towel, but thank God for a timely word that lifted you out of your burden, lifted you out of your pain. The word will lift you. And sometimes there are those who come to church with a wounded spirit. There are those who come to church with a worn spirit. There are those who come to church with the weary spirit. There's something about the power of the gospel that can lift your spirit. It can change your attitude. It can motivate you in the midst of your ministry. Thank God for the word. The word can lift you in your situations. If you're perhaps wondering how to make it through your weakness, his word tells us about his grace. If you're wondering how you're going to make it, his word says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. If you're feeling alone and forsaken, his word reminds us that he promised never to leave us or forsake us.